I'm redeemed. Yes. I love that song. I love that song. Appreciate that. God has blessed us this January, and now we're in February, and we're talking about prayer. We're talking about prayer. I was talking to the class this morning and asking, is this too much about prayer? And people said, you can't talk too much about prayer. Can't talk too much about prayer. This morning I want to deal with the practice of prayer, dealing with the practice of prayer. And so we want to begin with whom to pray, alone or with others. So we're going to deal with whom to pray. But we're going to start with praying alone. We visited Matthew chapter 6 many times, but we want to begin there in Matthew chapter 6 this morning, beginning at verses 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5 and also looking at verse 6. Here in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, Jesus says, "And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." So we're going to talk about praying alone first, and then we'll get to praying with others. So Jesus encouraged the practice of praying in secret, or praying while you are alone. It's so important that we have that alone time with our Creator. When there's no one to impress, there's no one to criticize, there's no one to get in the way of that communication that you're having with your Heavenly Father. It's so important that we develop this time. Private prayer cultivates our spiritual nature through regular exercise. V.L. Crawford said, "Prayer is the spiritual gymnasium in which we exercise and practice godliness." I really like that. Prayer is a spiritual gymnasium in which we exercise and practice godliness. Prayer is educative. The man or woman who prays grows, and the muscles of the soul swell from this ripcord to iron bands. This is from Frederick B. Meyer, who wrote that prayer is educative. But he says, the man who prays grows, and the muscles of the soul swell from this ripcord to iron bands. That's so powerful, isn't it? So powerful. Alan E. Bartlett says, the opposite is also true. 7 days without prayer makes one weak. Guys have heard that one, but it's obvious, isn't it? It's obvious. Private prayer forms a close union and fellowship with our Heavenly Father. It is just you and Him. Time spent together strengthens the bond of this fellowship. Private prayer is the truest test of your sincerity and devotion. You certainly are not doing it to please men, because they cannot see you. You can't be trying to falsely impress God. He will see right through you. Private prayer will be rewarded openly. We've already looked at that in Matthew 6:6. The answers to our prayers will be seen by others, both here and in the hereafter. So private prayer should be a priority in the practice of praying. We need to pray privately as much as we possibly can. Whenever we have that time in the car, especially when somebody cuts us off, we should pray for them. You know, don't close your eyes. You need your eyes when you're driving. But you need to pray for them. Pray for them. And I say pray for them because Christ died for them.
Yes, yes.
Christ died for them. The teaching of the world is they cut me off and I got to respond in a negative way. Respond in a positive way. Do your best. Do your best to respond in a positive way. But private prayer should be a priority in the practice of praying. Now, number two, praying with others. Praying with others. Jesus also spoke of praying with others in Matthew chapter 18, looking at verses 19 through 20. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, if you will. Matthew chapter 18, looking at verses 19 and 20. Here in Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 19, also looking at verse 20, he says, "Again, I say to you, yet if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst." That's a very powerful passage. Isn't it? Praying with other people can be very, very powerful. I remember there was a young man who had caught COVID in New Mexico. His name is Josh. He's about 6'6", and at the time before he got COVID, he was about 390 pounds. And I remember one of the brothers that attends our church, he's one of the ministry leaders, Robert. He called a couple of us people that were in leadership, and he says, "We need to pray for Josh." So we all went over to Robert's house, and a couple of us, we were praying for him. And he asked the church to pray for him. Josh was in the hospital for 40 days. They had incubated him, and they were like, he might not make it, because people weren't making it in New Mexico. People were dying. We had a lot of deaths during that particular time. But I can remember when we got the call and we saw it on the news that Josh was coming out of the hospital, going to the rehab place. We were so excited. And the reason why we were so excited, because we all have been united in prayer for that young man to be healed from COVID and to make it. Amen. Because he's got a little girl and he's got a wife. And we wanted Josh to make it. And I always told Robert this. I was like, you know, everybody you seem to pray for and that works for you, they seem to make it through because you do a lot of praying for the people that work for you. And that's just the way it's always been for him. But we all were excited about that, united in prayer, because we were united in responding to God and giving him the glory because he had answered that prayer that young man, Josh, get over COVID. Amen. Because we saw a lot of people go under, but they never came out. And what we found out later about the situation, and I'm just joyous about it, is while we were continuing to pray all those days for Josh, we didn't know that those nurses and everybody that worked there said, "We're going to focus on this young man here. We're going to give him the extras because he's young and we're going to really focus on him." And so God was working. Amen. God was working as we were praying, because we couldn't go to the hospital at that time. But what we could do is pray together. And praying together paid off for that brother, for Josh. He's done a couple of things. He changed the starter for me on my van at the church. He's done a lot. So he's well and alive. At first, when he got out, he had one of those hoses with the oxygen, and it was long, and he would come to work and work as hard as he could. But now he's about as strong as an ox, like he always was. Praise God. But we should pray with others. Amen. It's so important that we pray with others. Let me give you some examples in Scripture. If we look over at Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. It says, "And when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." Amen. Praise God. Also, let's look at Acts chapter 12, verse 5, and also look at verse 12. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Okay. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. It says, "So Peter was kept in the prison, but what? But prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God." These are people praying together. The church was praying together on behalf of the Apostle Peter there. Let's also look over at verse 12, Acts 12, 12. It says, "And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were doing what? And were praying." Let's just finish this little section here. Verse 13, "And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her, what? Because of her joy." Do you ever get joy when God answers prayer? "And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, 'You are out of your mind.' But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, 'It is his angel.' But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed." Have you ever been amazed that God answered your prayer? God answers prayer. That's why we need to pray. We need to pray in private. But we also need to come together as a church and pray. We've got to believe in the power of prayer. We've got to believe in the power of prayer. We've got to pray, folks. We've got to pray. So finally this morning, what should we pray for? For what to pray? As revealed in prayer in the Scriptures, we need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for our family, for our spouse, our children, our parents, our siblings. We need to pray for our community. We need to pray for our community. We need to pray for the church, for love and unity to prevail. We need to pray for the church, for the spiritual growth of each member. We need to pray for the gospel to have its free course. We need to pray for our nation, for national repentance and consciousness of who God is. We need to pray for our leaders to rule wisely. We need to pray for non-believers. We need to pray for the sick. We need to pray for the poor and those that are oppressed, People like the homeless, the fatherless, the unborn. We need to be praying. These are certainly much for which we ought to pray. There's many things we ought to pray for. But I also want to leave with you this morning is some strategies on prayer. On Monday, you can pray for your family.
All right.
On Tuesday, you can pray for the church.
All right.
On Wednesday, you can pray for the community.
Okay.
On Thursday, the nation. Right. On Friday, the world. On Saturday, the afflicted. We need to pray. We all have that ability. We need to exercise it. We need to work out. We need to build our muscles in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Exercise it. Don't be afraid. God can hear you. He can hear all of us in here at the same time. So we need to pray. As that rapper said, we need to pray just to make it today. And that's so true. That's what I like about that song, because it's talking about prayer. It has a positive message. We need to pray just to make it today. I pray that this sermon has been encouraging to all of you. And I pray that January was good for you, that you began to start looking at the value of prayer, the power that's in prayer. I pray that if there's someone here this morning that has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that this is your day.
Yes.
That this is your day. I also pray that if it's not your day, that if you want to study about God's word, I pray that you come forward today or talk to somebody here about how to become a child of God.
All right.
I also pray that if you're a child of God and you haven't been living right, that you make the necessary changes that you need to make. Amen. Whatever your need is, why don't you come forward now, and together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.